All right, here we go. So, hi, my name is Jackie Neal. I'm an artist in residence at the Mural Arts of Philadelphia at the Tocconi Arts Lab. Today is May 31st, 2018, and I'm recording an interview in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in the Tocconi neighborhood, which is in the northeast section of Philadelphia and considered a river ward. I'm here speaking with a participant in the Tocconi Oral History Project, which is a working title, and we're about to begin a brief interview. So hello.
Hello.
Okay, so we're just going to dive right in, and I'm going to ask you some of the basic questions. So actually, I'm going to make a really loud sound. Forgive me, those out in the listening world. Okay. So I'm going to ask you, let's start with where were you born, and were you born in Philadelphia?
Yes, I was born in greater Philadelphia area, but I was raised in Korea, South Korea, and also lived in many other countries. But I spent my high school years here, and my family now lives in Philadelphia, so I'm staying with them.
Oh, so you went to high school in the greater Philadelphia area?
In Philadelphia.
Yes. What neighborhood were you going to high school?
I don't know if I should say the name, but Central High School.
Oh, wow.
So I think that's in North Philadelphia.
Okay. Are you sure? What's wrong with saying the name?
No, because I wasn't sure if I was supposed to specify the names or not of the schools. Or
why not?
I don't know, but because
I didn't know. Is it a good school?
It's a magnet school. I think
it's a magnet school.
I think I'm pretty sure it's a top school in the city.
Oh, great! Yeah, that's wonderful.
The education they provided was very good. So
that's great. So does that mean that when you were in elementary school, you were going to school in South Korea?
Yes.
So when did you move from Philadelphia to South Korea?
When I was a couple months old.
And then you lived there until you were 14?
No, around, I came here for middle school actually, so I was around 12.
Around 12?
Yeah, so I was in seventh grade because the semesters there start in spring. So I was there for a couple months for the seventh grade, and then I came back here to live here permanently, so to speak.
And so do you have any experiences between the differences of going to school in South Korea and then going to school in Philadelphia? Is there anything that was drastically different?
Yes. First of all, the class size was very different. Here, I think on average, we had like around 20 students. Maximum 30, but that's really rare. But in Korea, like at the time when I was growing up in the 80s, '90s, it was, the class size was were around like 45. So it was a lot more crowded, and it's a collectivistic culture as opposed to more individualistic culture here. So expressing your individual thoughts weren't as important as listening and obeying the class order and kind of staying in line is more emphasized in that culture, I suppose. And so in classroom, environment was very different. Certain subjects were more emphasized than the others. And so it was a little bit, yeah, it was very different, actually, not a little bit different. It's very different coming to the United States and starting school here.
How do you think you said that South Korea schooling was a more collectivist?
I mean, not just the school, but the entire culture.
Yeah?
I think, yeah, it would be more collectivistic culture.
So would you be able to give an example of how that feels? Like, can you describe how that feels in opposition to being in an individualist culture?
For example, if we were... I mean, in United States, I think it was very important to express your opinions on certain, like literature, for example. You have to write a, you know, paper on it, and then, you know, raise your hand in the class, and then, you know, express like what you thought on it. And there was no exact like right answer to it. teacher could have disagreed with you, but it didn't mean you're wrong. But in Korea, there was more, in that instance, it was more of you read this, and then these are the answers. And you know, that was just straightforward, and there was no deviation from it, or it wasn't encouraged either. And it was, you know, partially because of the culture, and also because, you know, the sheer class size, you know.
Right, for brevity purposes or something, for the teacher to be able to move through the material quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. Okay. Well, I'm sure that you have a lot of interesting stories about growing up, and I'm wondering if you have an early memory that you could share with me. Maybe the earliest happy memory.
Earliest happy memory. Well, because I can think of visiting here, because when I was living in Korea, I was still visiting Philadelphia every couple of years. And Korea, because I lived in big cities in Korea, and it's not really comparable to American cities because it's a lot more crowded and a lot more populous. But I remember, like, when I visited here, I remember, like, seeing rabbits and the smell of, like, fresh, like, juice in grass in the morning. That was very, like, striking to me because I grew up in apartment buildings, like, really tall, like, high-rise buildings in Korea. And here, like, it was, even though it was a city, it was very nature-friendly, I suppose, and that was a very, like, that was my, like, my idea of America, like, my memory of America, and, you know, that's how I associated USA with that kind of, like, idyllic image.
What neighborhood in Philadelphia did you grow up in?
Northeast.
But which neighborhood? Did you grow up in Tacony?
No. We just say Northeast Philadelphia, but it's like it's close to the suburbs, to the suburbs. So, but it's not. It's around like Northeast High School. I don't know.
There's a high school called Northeast.
Yeah. So that's why it's like Northeast.
That's
like
really funny.
It's quintessentially Northeast.
That's really funny because like for me, it's like if you look at I think that a lot of people consider themselves Northeast, especially once you get past Fishtown.
Yeah, like, I mean, to me, like, I would consider that North Philadelphia, even, but, I mean, but it's, like, quintessentially, like, Northeast, because there's a high school called Northeast.
Okay, all right, that's cool. Do you remember any stories of your relatives that you would be able to share?
Yeah, I mean, my family, on both sides, they're originally from North Korea. They were based there for basically for thousands of years. And then they were forced to move down like right before the war and during the war. My father's side, they fled right before the war. And my mother's side, they came during the war because the house was bombed and they had to flee. There was no choice anymore. And but my parents, both of my parents are born in South Korea, and then...
You mean North Korea?
My parents, no. My parents were born in South Korea.
So their parents were in North Korea?
Yes,
and
my
then
grandparents.
Forced. Okay.
Yes. But my, like their siblings, my mother's siblings were born in North Korea, and my aunt, she lives here now, and she's the first of our family to immigrate to Philadelphia.
What year do you think that was?
When she immigrated here?
Mm-hmm.
I know it's in the 70s. I'm not sure exactly when, but it's in the 70s.
Do you know when your parents immigrated to
Philadelphia? Well, my parents permanently immigrated here in 2008 or 2007. I forget.
But they lived here when you were born?
My mother had, yeah, my mother is a legal, my aunt was living here. And my mother was had a green card, so she was living here for a bit. But then she, my dad was in South Korea the entire time, and he didn't have the any residency. So that's the main reason that we went back, but with the intention of coming back here within a couple of years. But then it just, you know, became a long weight.
That's very interesting. So you were born here when your mom had a green card, and then you went back to South Korea, and then when you were about 13, you said?
12.
12. Yeah. You came back to the United States with your parents?
No, just with my brother. And my aunt was here, so we were living with my aunt. And my parents have permanently...
How did that feel to you, to come here without your parents?
Well, at the time, because I was always thinking that, you know, like my parents always, you know, told me that I was going to always go back to the United States for school. And, you know, we were expecting it to happen for university, not middle school. But I was excited because at the time, Korea and like Asia in general, they were having IMF crisis, that's International Monetary Fund. There was like debt issue, so it was like around 1997 and 1998, so there was like the whole economic depression. So my parents thought I would have definitely have better education here because it would be free, as opposed to in Korea where a lot of private education is encouraged. And so I came here, but I was kind of excited to come because I wasn't really, I think I wasn't really aware of like hardships I might face without my parents. I think I was just like excited to like, you know, go to like a, I think I was kind of naive about it. I think it was more like a summer camp kind of thing, you know. It's like, oh, I'm going to a new country, you know, my parents aren't going to be there, you know, I'm going to, you know, learn all these things, you know. And that's how I felt initially. Yeah.
So when you speak of hardships, is there anything that has stuck out to you as a profound moment while you were here?
I mean, in school, there was definitely cultural difference initially and language barrier, because I didn't speak English at all. Well, I just spoke like very little English. And after I got used to school somewhat, there was always that difficulty of not having your parents around. I saw them like once a year because I used to go fly back for the summer vacation. But, you know, sometimes you have to have like a daily contact with your parents. And my aunt, you know, she was there for me, but like she wasn't, because she was working full time and, you know, she wasn't really hands-on, I suppose, as a parental figure.
So you missed like the nurturing of your parents?
Yeah.
That must have been really hard. And so let's see, I'm trying to figure out the timeline here. Your parents came to the United States when, like you said that they got citizenship in 2003 or something?
No, they moved here permanently in 2008.
In 2008.
I wasn't here in 2008, yeah.
Where were you?
I was in, I was in South America. I was in either in Chile or Argentina. I was living there for a while, so.
That's
or
funny.
I was living. I was trying to figure out like where I was. Yeah, that's where.
All
I
right.
Was.
So I already know that you have a very interesting story to tell about your travels. So just for the timeline, it's you went to high school at Central, and then of course you went to college. Did you go to college in Philadelphia?
No, I went to a school in New York.
In New York City,
yeah. New York City.
What was the school?
Baruch.
Baruch. Yeah.
Yeah, it's in downtown. Yeah.
And what was your major?
I studied international marketing and. Literature and translation, that's like world literature.
And did you start traveling immediately after you got your graduate or undergraduate degree?
No, I was traveling while I was in school.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, is that the nature of that kind of program?
No, well, the school provided a lot of a lot of opportunities to study abroad, and I basically got more grants and scholarships to study abroad than staying in New York. Because, I mean, the cost of living is, you know, astronomical in New York, so.
That's a creative way to work around it. Oh my God. So were you getting grants based upon your academics?
Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, so tell me about all of this traveling that you've been doing. Is it all based around international marketing?
No, I was living in Spain and Latin America, well, South America, to study Spanish and improve it. And afterward, after I graduated, I stayed there to work a little bit more. and traveled. And after that, I went to, and in between, like, I mean, between, actually, no, before that, I actually went to study abroad in Korea at Yonsei University for a semester. That was in my junior year of university. And I was traveling between then as well to England, Turkey, and India. And yeah, after that, I came back to New York for a bit to do one semester. And then I went to South America to live there for a couple of years. And then after that, I came back here for a bit. And then I went to Republic of Georgia. And I was working there for a bit. And I was traveling the region for a couple of months.
What was your job?
I was teaching English. It was through the government. The government initiated this, what do you call it?
English as a second language?
No. It's not Peace Corps, but it's something else. USAID. It's a USAID funded program. So the government had started the program at the time. And so they invited a bunch of English speaking foreigners to teach English at their public schools. So I was working there.
How many years did you do that?
No, I was only there for one semester.
Oh, one semester.
Yeah.
And what other jobs were bringing you to South America? And
at the time, was in South America, I was studying initially. That's why I went to Argentina initially. And then after that, I went to Chile to study as well. And then in Chile, I was teaching English as well. That was like, that's for English speaker, that's like an easiest job you can get anywhere, basically.
Is to teach English?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've since graduated.
Yes.
And now, I guess in looking back at all those years of traveling, can you think of a something that is like one of your proudest moments?
I think...
Either personally or professionally?
Personally and professionally. I think they're kind of both are related in a way that I was able to, because I wasn't just traveling, I was living in certain places for, you know, a couple of years and making friends and, you know, settling myself there, not permanently, but like temporarily making myself home. So I think that's like my achievement, to be able to go somewhere and then like kind of establish myself and, you know, become part of the community there, I suppose, and, you know, make friends and make, you know, connections. I think that's, you know, my most proudest personal and professional.
So then I guess that's really cool. Like, so if we fast forward, I have no idea how to gauge where you are in your timeline of your ambitions. I guess, what brings you back to Philadelphia right now?
I came here after graduate school because of my family's in Philadelphia. And I was planning on leaving right away, but it just became a couple of years now. And I'm, you know, because, you know, my parents are getting older, so they needed some help with certain logistics, I suppose, and their English is still not great, so I still need to help them with certain paperwork and whatnot. And as they're getting older, you know, their physical status, you know, physical wellness, you know, is kind of deteriorating as well, so I have to help them out as well.
Would you mind my asking how old they might be?
My mom is 65. My father is 63 or 64 right now.
And you said that you've been here for a couple of years. Does that mean, do you mean 2 years?
No, close to 4 now.
4 years.
Yeah.
So this is the longest that you've ever lived somewhere, aside from when you went to
high school. Yeah, yeah.
And before that, South Korea.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Yes, it's the longest.
Can you say that back to me?
Yes, it's the longest I've lived in I think, yeah, it's the longest I've lived here in anywhere since high school, I suppose, yeah.
How long has it been?
About 4 years, yeah.
Okay. Just asking you to repeat it so that it's on the audio.
Yeah.
Okay, so where do you live right now? What neighborhood?
I live in the same neighborhood, Northeast Philadelphia.
And then what brings you to Tacony for the arts community?
I was looking to take some painting classes, and I saw an advertisement about, it wasn't a painting class, but it was something else. I think it was another art class, and Tacony Art Center, they had advertised the class in the newspaper, so I checked it out, and then I found out there had so many other classes that I could take in, so I started coming here, and it's been a couple months.
Oh, you've been only coming here for a few months?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So what's your experience? How many classes have you taken so far?
I think five.
That's awesome. See, like, I love that. You totally are diving in to, I just think that this is such a great opportunity for artists in general, based on the quality of artists that are teaching, and Barb and Maria. And I'm just so happy every time I walk in and I see the work that's hanging up. It's just, it's really an amazing example of how many talented people are around. So to know that you've taken like five courses in a few months is just really encouraging. So do you have any particular experience in any of those classes that you might be able to share that's a positive?
Yeah, I mean, I like all of them. And some of them were very new techniques to me. Like, I took enamel jewelry class, and I've never worked with metal jewelry before, so it was very new. And also I did pisanki, which is a Ukrainian Easter egg. So you draw on it with wax pen, and then you dip it in dyes, and, you know, it was a process, but it was very interesting. So it wasn't something I was never interested in it, because I wasn't really aware of them to begin with. So it was very interesting to learn all these different techniques. And also I did painting classes, and that was more, I wouldn't say it was more of a learning experience as much as just giving me an opportunity to paint in general.
Have you ever taken painting classes in the past?
I took art classes in high school as a part of the school curriculum.
And so you've always wanted to pick it up again, or?
Yeah, what? I mean, because when I was traveling, I was painting too, but I wasn't like painting extensively, because, you know, I couldn't travel with all these supplies all the time with me. So I was drawing, but I was more into painting, so I just needed to have that space and, I suppose, time and motivation to paint more.
Mm-hmm. So I find it interesting that you're taking classes that are not directly related to painting. What inspires you to do that? Like, what in your mind clicks for you to take it?
In high school, when I took art class, that was like my first time taking art class since elementary school. And when I was in elementary school in Korea, I wasn't good at art, and I didn't enjoy it at all, because it was very, I think it was the issue with the like class instructions, I suppose. It was very rigid. You know, you had one subject to do, and you had to do it a certain way. And then, you know, if you don't do it that way, then, you know, you're not doing great, and you don't know how to do art. That's how it was decided. So I didn't like it. But when I was taking art class in high school, I think it was the first time I took it. It was in sophomore year, I think it was sophomore or junior year. And I really liked it, because, you know, we were given a certain topic to do, but then we had like a lot more freedom to do it however we wanted. And, you know, I got to try different methods, and I thought like I was really bad at it before, but I wasn't. I just didn't have the right directions, I suppose. And so that's why I took different classes here, because I wanted to try them, try different methods out. And certain ones, I think like enamel jewelry making isn't for me, I think, because I'm like, I really don't like the whole idea of like using the kiln and everything. I just don't like having the heat and stuff. But it was a good opportunity to try different methods, to not just find out like if I'm good at it or not, but just to experience it. It's always, you know, fun.
It's good to figure out what you kind of like art can really, well, see, for me, arts is something that like you It's like meditative with, and like there's like this experience with the mind and the heart, and mm-hmm. Not every single medium is for everybody.
Yeah.
So like the more that you do, the more that you can realize where you feel most fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really, I admire that you've taken so many different courses. Like I and I love that they offer so many different possibilities for you. Okay, so like, let's see. We've covered what your childhood was like and where you grew up. What does Philadelphia mean to you? And if you could just be a little bit deep about that rather than like a like surface level.
It's my starting point.
Can you repeat the question? And
yes, to me, Philadelphia means it's a starting point for me. I don't necessarily see it as my home because I do plan on moving away, but I do see this as my origin, I suppose, and how I, you know, began my life here in America. Yeah.
Does it feel like kind of like a like an a place that you can just stop, like that you can always go back to and then like leap into another direction from there?
I'd rather not. Because I'm not really fond, I mean, like, it's not the city, but I'm not, it's I mean, I have really good memories here, but I also have really bad memories of here. And it's,
would you share a, like what kind
it's,
of
it's, you know, it's my family thing.
Oh, it's not
so it's not the city, so to speak. So I don't really see this as a place that I would want to come back to start over again, so to speak.
So let's talk about this idea of rootedness that we were talking about before we hit record. So what is your feeling about, what does that mean to you? What does rootedness mean?
I'm constantly looking for it. I don't feel rooted. Doesn't mean I don't want it. But I've lived in around like, I think 10 or 9 places right now, countries now. And it always felt like, they always felt like, you know, as much as I try to like settle myself there and like see, you know, establish my home, I always knew that I was going to leave eventually. And I'm constantly looking for a place that I can just, you know, call home and just settle down. So I'm always looking for it.
What do you think the criteria for that is?
Oh, I always think about it, but I have a couple. Like, I definitely want to be where I can walk around freely. I mean, because I lived in certain places where I was dressed a certain way, but that wasn't, you know, I wasn't like naked or anything, but I was told that I shouldn't be walking around alone wearing like sleeveless shirt, for example. I wouldn't like that, and you know, I wouldn't like to live in a place like that anymore. And also I want to live, you know, near my friends, so I can, you know, where I can just see my friends on a regular basis.
Where are most of your friends?
Mostly in Europe at the moment.
Europe's a pretty big place.
Yeah, in England, I suppose. England, France, yeah, I think those places, yeah. And there I have friends in Canada and some in Tokyo, so yeah, they're scattered all over the place. So I want to live in a place where I can travel easily to other places. I mean, that's why I want to move back to Europe, because I like the idea of being aware of other countries near you. Because in the United States, I mean, we have a lot of, you know, diversity and a lot of different cultures, you know, just merging. And here, especially nowadays, like in my neighborhood too, like I've never seen so many diverse groups of people. But at the end of the day, USA is such a like a big country. I feel like we're kind of living in like an island where you're not really aware of what's going on outside of the country. You see all these news and then it doesn't really hit you home. Whereas in like Asia and Europe, you know, certain things happen. It's like, it's only a few hours, you know, a couple hours away, you know, by driving or whatever. And you're a lot more, you just feel it, you know? And I feel like in USA, you just feel, I feel a lot more isolated to like live in the United States.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
And I agree. I've never heard anyone put it that way though. Like we're living on an island. I find so many people don't pay attention to international news. It's disturbing. But I hear what you're saying. Thank you so much for distilling it in that way. So just to sort of talk about Tacony a little bit more. So what is your impression of this neighborhood?
I haven't really ventured out, so I was really surprised when you told me certain things about the neighborhood before the interview started. So I never came here before I visited the art center because I just have no business here, so I never came here, so I'm not really aware of the neighborhood.
When you come to Tacony, do you just drive in and do you park on Torresdale? I think it's called Tarsdale. I think people call it Tarsdale, but it's spelled Torresdale. So you park down the side street.
Yeah.
And like so did you, do you need some water or anything? I can pause everything.
No, it's all right.
Okay. When I go down the streets, I see these beautiful Victorian homes. Were you able to see them? Yeah.
Yeah. I see them. But there, I was observing them, but now I'm like thinking all about like all these like exclusions that you were talking about before the interview. So like, I'm just, cause I wasn't like, you know, to me, Tacony was just like getting out of my car, walking here, walking back to my car. So that's like the entirety of how much I thought about this neighborhood, so you know. So now I'm just like trying to like retrace my, you know, steps and whatnot. I'm just like.
Well, so what I was, I mean, like I would like to just kind of recap a little bit is that I was talking about how I felt like the arts center was a place of inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that really all of the programs are free. And it seems like there's a wide diversity of people who come to the classes. So that's a really, this is an inclusive space. And
right.
So that's really fantastic.
But when I was talking
what's your
to,
feeling about it?
I was talking to other participants and most of, I don't think any of them lives in this neighborhood. I don't know about those kids clubs, like Saturday and after school classes. I imagine more of them live in the neighborhood, but other participants, they all come from like other parts of the city as far as like Mount Airy or, you know, even suburbs.
That's very interesting. And so why do you think people travel from outside to come here?
Because I think they just want to learn different techniques and different class. They wanted to pick up different skills, I suppose.
Well, let's put it this way. What if I know the library has a lot of events in Tacony.
Okay.
In fact, there's a really cool one next week that I'm going to, which is like involved with the Beer Week, Philadelphia Beer Week, in case you want to go. What brings you to this specific place?
Well, because I was looking for art classes, and this was the like nearest art center that I could find.
The only art center that you could find that's close to the Northeast?
Yeah. I mean, there was another one. There was another art studio in, I think, on Rising Sun Avenue or something like that. But that's more geared towards children.
And so, does it have anything to do with that Mural Arts Philadelphia has a very credible...
I didn't even
place
know
in the arts?
No, I didn't even know the association until I came here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well. Mural arts is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually like one of those topics that as far as like urban development goes, a lot of urban planning involves, well, people need to have green space within their neighborhood mm-hmm. so that they have a place to go to that they can, like, if it's hot out, they don't have air conditioning and they need to relax with their family. So green space is something that they always think about in urban development.
Okay.
Well, it's fantastic to know that Mural Arts and the Tocconi Arts Lab provides a place for people to come to learn and expand their mind in the arts.
Yes.
So it's interesting that this is the closest thing to the Northeast that you could find. I hope that this provides, like, is here for a long time so that you can always come to it, because it needs funding for that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it needs, you know, like, they're going to have fundraisers to keep it here, which I hope it does. So in general, the culture of Philadelphia itself and the art world, how do you feel about that? Like, have you thought about your work ever being seen beyond these four walls of the Arts Lab?
I mean, I had my photos exhibited before, but I never had any exhibit. Well, I when I was in high school, I had one of my work exhibited at the City Hall. But not the current work that I'm doing. I feel like I need more work on it. But eventually, yes, I would like to have it shown somewhere. And I think now, I mean, there's something, like, you know, like First Fridays, you know, in the Center City. And I think that's great. Like, all these galleries are, they're really, in the Old City, I checked, I go there like every couple months, and they're really great. I think the rent being cheap in Philadelphia encourages a lot of artists, especially from New York, to move down here, and, you know, because they can get a lot more space. And
have you spoken to some of the artists that exhibit at the galleries?
No.
Do you know if they're from New York City?
To exhibition? No. I know, like, some of them who moved here, but I don't know.
You know of some?
Yeah.
Are you friends with them?
No.
No, you just, is that something you read in the paper?
Yeah, no, I mean, like, one of the instructors who taught here, she's from Harlem as well, and some other, like, I spoke with them before, not the instructor, but at the gallery, but, like, I wasn't really, like, I'm not friends with them.
Yeah, what was the question I had for you? So do you feel like there's opportunities for you? Actually, to back up a little bit, we never spoke about how you also take photographs outside
yes.
of painting. So the painting, is that a side thing, or is
yes.
that something that you feel like you are as interested in as photography?
Photography, I'm good at.
You don't think you're good at painting?
I'm not as good at it, I suppose. I mean, I'm not at a level where I envision it in my head, I suppose. You know, I have certain ideas that I want to paint, but it doesn't really translate it exactly as I want it
mm-hmm.
onto the canvas. So that's
so are you, what is your profession? What's your work?
Right now it's completely unrelated with what I was used to do, what I was doing before. I have like online business, but that's not, you know, that's more like a temporary thing. But I used to work as a photographer and also worked in marketing, international marketing, and as a consultant.
And as a photographer, what were you working, shooting?
When I was starting out, I worked at a studio, mm-hmm. taking portraits, and I...
What was the name of the studio?
It was a long time ago. It was like when I was 16.
Oh.
So it was a long time
ago. So you were a photographer at a studio?
Yeah.
Or you worked... I'd like to meet the person who hires a 16-year-old to take pictures of the studio. Is it like a portrait studio that...
Yeah. I don't think they exist anymore, but...
Was it like a big studio or...
No, I mean, it was like a small studio.
Was it a commercial place?
No.
No?
No, it was just a portrait. Like, yeah, just for like families and whatnot.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so then you went on to photograph for...
I did a lot of concert photography. Because I used to go to a lot of concerts in Philadelphia and in New York when I was going to school there. And then when I started traveling, I did a lot of travel photography, I suppose, yeah.
Do you have your portfolio online?
Yes.
Do you want to, I mean, you can tell us your website once we get to the end and you can say your name. Okay, so are you have an online business now. Is it like through Do you want to talk about that?
No, it has nothing to do with my photography or any like art business. It's just retail.
It's retail?
Business, yeah.
Is it like, I guess it's not something you want to talk about because you're not being very descriptive about it.
It's not, well, because I don't think it's very... what's the word? It's not very something like interesting, I think.
Oh, okay.
Because I see something as like a very temporary thing, so.
So would you, I guess just to wrap it up, would you say, okay, if you, here's something that I love this question. What advice would you give your teenage self based on everything that you've got, like from moving from Philadelphia to South Korea to Philly, and to New York, then all over the world, and now back to Philadelphia. You've done a lot of things as a photographer, a teacher of English in other countries. Now you have an online business, and now you're taking courses in painting and enamel jewelry, and so.
I would tell my teenage self that to believe in myself more, I think, because there were, I think like when I was little, like I had like a lot more, I mean, even now I have a lot more like self-doubt and don't really follow up on what I believe in, as opposed to what other people tell me that I should be doing. And I think that's a really, I think I'd like to tell my teenage self that, like, to just believe in myself more.
Do you think it's worth telling yourself that now?
Yeah, of
yeah.
course.
Do you think, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I really feel like we just scratched the top surface of your life. I think that you have a lot of, rich experience that speaks to a great future. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I can't gauge exactly how old you are, but I think that you seem to be like, you'll be very successful whatever you do.
Oh, thank you.
But then again, I'm not like I don't have a crystal ball or anything, but hey, you can always check in with me and let me know. Okay, so I can see that this is ticking away. I just wanted to see if this is a good opportunity to ask you if you'd like to remain anonymous or if you'd like to share your name.
I'd like to share my name.
Perfect.
My first name only.
Okay.
Yes, my name is Rafaela.
And I think that they suggested that we say our age, so I'll share my age if you want to share yours.
My age is 32.
32.
Yes.
Well, it is a pleasure to speak with you. I think this is going to, we can continue to talk, but I think that the StoryCorps thing is going to stop shortly. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with me that, let's just say that we never see each other again. Is there anything that you'd like for me to know about you?
No, I think I'm good.
Yeah, there's nothing you want to share with me?
No, I mean, I feel like, I mean, it's like a work in progress at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Life is always going to be a work in progress, I have to tell you. You know, I think that like, so I'm just going to get more conversational now that we've kind of like gone past like the majority of the things. But for me, it this sense of traveling is just like always pulling at me. And I'm sure it does with you as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering like, how do you, it seems like you've traveled a lot more than me actually, and I'm wondering how do you juggle all of that? Like, I think that we're going to be talking about like your cyanotype and the objects you chose have to do with like what you would pick up and run out with. So like, do you actually find it's more difficult to travel now with like maybe with all the restrictions of down to the very stupid stuff, like you can't bring like a bag without paying for it.
Oh god.
You can't bring water on
So like I've been flying since I was in my mother's belly, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was flying constantly like since I was a couple months old and whatnot. So back then, like the flights weren't like, not everyone could have taken flights. So it was a lot more exclusive, and so they treated you better. Airlines definitely treated their customers better. And, you know, and after a whole, like, 9/11, all the, like, shoe